Hello there. My name is Maru. I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. And this is Sign Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. We've got a packed show for you today, very special broadcast, because every broadcast is indeed very special to us. We are your number one platform on the airwaves and YouTube for pop culture, film, and television discussion. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Very well indeed. Welcome to the sort of grand expansion of The Real Show. We're on Instagram on The Real Show FM and on Twitter at The Real Show FM as well. I tweet loads of stuff. I tweet daily. So give us a follow. We're also on Google, Apple, and Spotify, and Amazon, and everywhere you get your podcasts from. We're there. So listen
Exactly.
to us. We're really good and funny sometimes. I don't know. You're supposed to be plugging, Corey. You've got to plug a bit, you know?
That is it. That is everywhere. It's very
No, it's
inappropriate.
everywhere, exactly. But today, this is a continuation of something we did about a couple of months ago now, where
Yeah.
we reviewed WandaVision, did we not?
We did. That was about five episodes ago, just before Star Wars month.
Yes, just before Star Wars Month. We bring a close to Star Wars Month. I know, I'm in tears already. I'm weeping. The fact we can't do another month of Star Wars. Every year we do Star Wars, all year if I could, but unfortunately, no, I think Corey'd get quite sick of it. So what we're doing instead is we're turning to Marvel, we're turning to Disney Plus, who also owns Star Wars, but that's inconsequential. So we're turning to Marvel related product, and we're turning to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is the next line of exclusive Marvel television to hit Disney Plus just after WandaVision.
Yeah, it's also the second time on this show that a recommendation is becoming an episode.
Really?
This was my rec for WandaVision.
Ah, oh,
It was
okay.
about, I want to say, three episodes in, I gave this a suspended rating.
Right.
So technically, because obviously the show wasn't finished, so I gave it a rating of what the show was three episodes in. So now this is a continuation, and I can see if I agree with myself from 5 weeks ago.
Oh, well, yeah, very, very, very intriguing indeed. But that's quite an interesting concept, because this is the second thing. The first thing was Rogue One, which got the coveted 10 reels from me
Yes.
and earned the reviewers, and then we set the precedent of everything that gets 10 reels has to be reviewed by us in some way. But I don't remember what the actual reel rating was.
My suspended reel rating for this was 7.5.
Okay. What do you think it? Don't tell us, but does it get higher now that you've seen it all?
Possibly.
Right, okay, well, let's go into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's dive
Of
in.
course, this was unveiled during the great sort of Disney Expo where all the new shows came out. And the original release was March 19th of 2021, and it concluded in on April 23rd.
I'm assuming you're correct.
Yeah, I am correct. I'm not wrong, Corey. How dare you doubt me? I'm not wrong. The cast brought back two of many people's favorite characters: the Falcon, Sam Wilson, and the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes, which are Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan,
They are.
respectively. It
As
also returned some more supporting characters, which we'll get onto, like Sharon Carter and my personal favorite, Baron Zemo.
I know you're going to say
Yeah,
Zima.
we'll talk about we'll give Zemo his time, but for the rest of this episode, we'll be a bit loosey-goosey. We'll jump from place to place. We'll talk about some characters, some plots, some things we liked, some things maybe we didn't like, and we'll end it off with a nice real rating, and you'll get your weekly rec. So standard fare from us, you know. Welcome back to the real show. We're here for a good time. So what did you think of this series? Well, let's start it off. When this series was announced, when it was coming out, when we got that first episode, what was the taste in your mouth, Corey?
Right, so this had just come off of WandaVision, right? And immediately it was
Very
a
good. WandaVision.
it was and it was a difference from WandaVision. Visually was a like confusing thing of you don't for like three episodes you don't know what's going on. It's black and white, it's going up decades, and it's this more visually interesting thing. Falcon and Winter Soldier starts you off with like these massive attacks going on, and it throws you straight in there straight away. It's literally set from when like current Marvel stuff going on. It's not in the past, it's set now. And it wasn't as... there's like no guesswork in what happens. There's no like theories about, oh, I hate to bring up Mephisto again, but there's none of that going on. You know,
well, actually,
what's happening.
I think there was, because it didn't happen early. No, there was no sort of early theory of who's doing this, but there was sort of theories as it went on, especially to do with the more enigmatic characters such as Zemo and the sort of infamous power broker who was mentioned throughout the series.
I mean, the only theory I kept seeing, which I think everyone knew anyway, was the whole Captain America US agent thing.
Yeah, that was going on.
But I mean, I liked it. First episode, I liked it.
The first episode, yes, definitely. It familiarizes us with a world that is post Endgame.
Yeah.
A world that is post Snap or Blip, as they called it, which was sort of covered slightly in WandaVision, but we definitely get more of it now because Captain America is gone. Captain America has retired, and Sam Wilson is working for the U.S. military as the Falcon. He stops Batroc the Leaper, who is from Captain America Winter Soldier. Nice to see him come back. And return to the franchise. He looks good. He's wearing his sort of purple suit that he wore in Winter Soldier. So a lot of good action, good opening action scene. It really throws you into it, and I like that. And with WandaVision, it was more sort of uncovering the mystery.
It was more. I mean, WandaVision starts, especially like WandaVision, because Vision's back in the first episode.
Yes,
and obviously he's not alive. So that's more of a not detective-y thing, but
no, I think this is more. Of course, this is a change in tone.
Yes,
right? This is more action, venture, big stunts, explosions. WandaVision was about deciphering the mystery of this very sort of psychologically tortured woman in Scarlet Witch and how she's created this fantasy, this play world for herself. Where what we get now in Falcon and Winter Soldier is that same psychology of, but it's in a different context.
Yes.
It's almost with Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes, they have to learn to cooperate with each other, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them cooperate before in Civil War, briefly.
Yes.
They fought Spider-Man together.
They did fight Spider-Man.
There's other stuff as referenced in this as well, of them kind of not getting along. But like, there's a part where they're in the car, and in Falcon Winter Soldier, Sam's in the back, and Bucky won't move his seat forward, which is referencing when Sam was in the front, and Bucky was in the back, and they wouldn't. And like, there's a lot of other kind of like hints and references to other stuff. Bucky has is it the first episode or is it the second one where he like we see him getting therapy?
I think it's the start of the second.
Yeah, and it's revealed that like there's the three rules of therapy, and he doesn't call anyone, doesn't talk to anyone, and he goes and gets food with his neighbour.
But he gets a different type of therapy, doesn't he? Because someone is in this show, and it's the Wakandans.
Yes.
Come back, Wakanda in the show. There's a character called not Okoye. That's the name of the main. It's Io, isn't it? Or
yes.
Ao.
Ao
is in the show, played by the same actress, and she was one of my favourite parts of the show because, that vibranium arm did come from Wakanda.
It did.
And Zemo is responsible for the death of Wakanda's king.
He is.
So, of the death of T'Chaka. So, of course, they'd be back. So, it's great to see the Wakandans again. They had a cool action scene with the new Captain America or US agent, so... And also, we get more returning characters in the first episode. We get Don Cheadle as Rhodey.
Yep, true.
War Machine, he's back for that first episode. Sharon Carter, as I mentioned, she was former agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So Peggy Carter's niece, she sort of resides in Madripoor, which is this off-the-books country where all the criminals hang out. What did you think of these returning characters?
I mean, okay, so some of them I knew who they were. I've not seen every single Marvel film. And I would admit, I'd openly admit that I've not seen every single Marvel film. So the Wakandans, that made sense to me. 100%. There was a couple of people that I didn't know straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about this is, and a good thing about the Marvel TV shows in general, is that you can still kind of not get who people are, but they still fill in the gaps of here's why they're here, here's what they did, so you still know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you didn't watch Black Panther, right, if you skip Black Panther for whatever reason, it's a good film, but if you skip mm-hmm. Black Panther, you would know why the Wakandas are here. It's explained through the show.
Yes.
Which I like. Same goes with anyone else as well, that are in it. It makes sense.
Yes. It's because of Bucky's arm. Bucky's arm is not adamantium. No, vibranium, sorry. Vibranium.
Yes, adamantium's what Wolverine's made out of.
Yeah, I thought so. There's two metals in Marvel. There's two.
To be fair, I get confused as well.
It's adamantium, it's vibranium.
Yeah.
Vibranium is what the arm is made out of, and that's sort of Wakanda's thing. That's their whole that's their whole deal. Everything's made out of vibranium. So, of course, they come back to sort of get their property and get Zemo. So, yes, we have Florence Kasumba returning as Ao, one of the members of the Dora Milaje, who are Wakanda's so female warriors, protectors of the king, and they get some great action, they get some great moments. I'm glad to see them back. Someone else I'm glad to see back is Daniel Bruhl as Baron Helmut Zemo from Captain America Civil War. Arguably, many people call Zemo the Marvel's greatest villain because he was actually the one who was responsible for their downfall in Infinity War.
True.
Because if Civil War hadn't happened, then they would have been united against Thanos and maybe they would have won. But no, it was actually Zemo's fracturing of the Avengers in Civil War that led to their downfall in Infinity War. So maybe Zemo's to blame? Just saying. but part of his involvement is to take them to Madripoor and also to add a little bit of tension in there when the Dora Milaje show up with Bucky.
Yes. I mean, he's... Again, so I knew who he was. He gets brought in, Winter Soldier breaks him out of prison, Falcon knows nothing about it.
Yeah, which... no, that episode... I thought that episode was going to be entirely dedicated to breaking Zemo out of prison.
No, it happened very quick.
There's only 6 episodes in this series.
There is.
Just less than WandaVision. So I thought, right, well, this will be like a filler episode. We won't get much. They're like, oh, they'll spend time breaking Zemo. No, they break it straight away. It's one sequence. It's one sequence. Like, right, okay, cool. That's when the pace kind of picked up. Like, right, okay, yeah, we're not doing that. We're not going to spend the whole episode breaking them out. Why would we? Well,
it's... Yeah, I mean, he comes in, gets broken out. Sam and Bucky have a little bit of an argument about why he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like, essentially, Zemo knows somewhat what to do. He kind of takes charge throughout most of this.
He does, yeah. And he's good, he's business. He looks like comic Zemo. He's got the coat, he's got the mask, he's got everything.
There's a lot more comic accuracy in the TV series.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is definitely more... We had to wait sort of the entire series of WandaVision to get Wanda's comic accurate Scarlet Witch get up.
I was happy to see Vision's comic outfit, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. But we got Zemo straight out of the comics. That last episode, spoilers, but that last episode, Falcon's of Captain America gear that the Wakandans give him was in the case. His gear, the sort of the white and blue and the red of Captain America, the Falcon wings and the shield fitting into it and all that kind of thing. That's straight out of the comics when Sam actually does become Captain America.
Yeah. Since we're on the topic of comic costumes, I heard people complain about this, and I'm pretty sure Wyatt Russell, the guy who plays John Walker, also mentions it. You know, right, so you know at the end... Again, spoilers. If you haven't figured out the spoilers in this. You know at the end when it's revealed that US Agent is US Agent?
Yes,
and he comes out wearing like the same outfit but different colours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware that in the comic, that's what he looks like.
Yes,
however,
yeah, US Agent does.
It was a little bit, not confusing, but like he just looks the same but different a little bit.
Yeah, well, I suppose, well, a little bit of trivia, if you don't mind me saying.
Go for
it. Bit of trivia. Would you mind just a bit of trivia, Corey?
Go for it. I love a bit of trivia.
Do you know that Wyatt Russell initially auditioned for the role of Captain America in Captain America the First Avenger in 2011?
I do like it when people do that.
And it was his very first audition for anything ever.
Oh.
But then Chris Evans got the role, and now we have Wyatt Russell playing the sort of second iteration as the new Captain America. The new Captain America.
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
John Walker.
He got the actor himself, Wyatt Russell, got a lot of hate when this was kicking off.
Yeah, but, right, okay, policy.
Yeah.
You can hate the character as much as
yes.
you like, but never go after the actor or that, because that's why Jack, I think his name's Jack Gleeson, the guy that played Joffrey in Game of Thrones, that's why he's not working anymore.
Yeah. And like,
because bless him, he played evil so well, and he played maniacal villain so well, that people just, I don't like to use the word bullying, but I suppose that word might be applicable.
What's the thing? Because I really enjoyed John Walker in this.
Yeah, he's a love to hate character. You kind of go, oh, he's so
until
devious.
Like maybe the last episode, I think I didn't like him as much.
Mm.
Only because I feel like the end, or at least his arc at the end, was a little bit like meh.
If you've seen The Boys, he's very Homelander.
Yeah.
If you've seen The Boys at all on Amazon, of course, all of the streaming platforms are available. But if you've seen The Boys on Amazon, you'll know that he's very Homelander. This new Captain America is, you know, oh yeah, truth, justice, and the American way. I fight for America. And then he's going to decapitate someone with his shield.
Yes.
And then he's going to kick somebody so hard they die. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, so he...
Captain America, more like decapitated America.
Okay, that would have been okay if you managed to get it out properly.
That joke just fell completely flat.
No, I mean,
can I have another go? Can I say
sure.
it again?
Go for it.
Oh dear, Captain America, more like decapitation America.
Right. Okay. There you go.
It's not even funny.
No, but I you know what? I enjoyed him being in it. It makes sense that, okay, Falcon's given up the shield, we're going to bring someone in who's won loads of medals in the army and whatever. I liked, what was his companion's name?
His friend's name, Battlestar.
That's it, I know it was Star something, I can't remember his name.
Battlestar, who's also been a Captain America as well.
Yes, I liked his involvement. And the connection they had.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as a character, it's good. And this is the one thing I liked about this show. Compared to WandaVision, I feel like this show leaves more going forward.
Because
like at the end of this, not only is now Falcon Captain America, and not only do Falcon and Winter Soldier have more of a relationship, but we also now have like another villain who at some point is probably going to appear.
Yes, but I don't. Right, this isn't any detriment to WandaVision.
Hmm.
But WandaVision, there was only two people, maybe three, you could really think about, and that was Wanda,
yep.
Vision,
yes.
and Agatha. Right.
Yes.
Everybody else, maybe not. You know, Monica Rambeau, sure. Agent Jimmy Woo, yeah, all right. Darcy, yeah, okay. But here, but everyone's a lot more human.
Yeah.
And everyone's a lot more, has a lot more depth to them, I think. Because in WandaVision, you were jumping around so much outside the hex, inside the hex. What's going on in the TV show? What's Monica Rambeau becoming Captain Marvel? That kind of thing.
Mm.
But here we have a lot more centralized story of, yeah, in a way, it is all about Captain America. Even though Captain America isn't even in the show, Steve Rogers isn't.
No, everyone just believes is on the moon, which I find quite
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it's the legacy of Captain America. It's his shield. They say, "Oh, it's not about the shield." Sam or someone says that, and he goes, "It's always been about the shield."
By the way, I don't know if you know because I tried to Google it when I watched the episode. You know when US Agent makes his own shield?
Oh, yes, yes.
Bat
I know
must
that.
Take, like, he's a very, very crafty man if he can make his own shield.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you know, it's metalwork. It can't be that hard.
Also, what's it made out of?
Metal. Well, he seems to throw it. He seems to throw it well enough.
Does he like manage to get his hands on some vibranium or something?
Yeah. Actually, I think in the comics, the shield is made out of vibranium and adamantium. So.
Yeah, because he can just, you know, get his hands on some of that somewhat easily.
Of course, he can. The most precious metal, rarest metal in the world, yeah. That the continents have. Yeah, sure.
It's, you know, it's just there, it's just hanging around. It's just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But let's go on to another sort of pseudo-villain of the show, and that is Aaron Kellyman's Carly Morgenthau, who is the leader of the Flag Smashers.
Yes.
This, which is, I still think it's a bit of a stupid name.
I prefer, was it Red Hand they were called?
Yeah, I think, in the comics, I think they were called Red Hand.
I prefer Red Hand.
Yeah, but maybe they thought people might get it confused with Red Skull.
Well, I think... They're called Red Hand in the first episode. It's what, like, Falcon calls them when, like...
That's their logo, isn't it? The logo's
a
Red Hand.
It's when... Again, I don't know the names, but the guy he's talking to at the start who, like, tells Bucky to...
Yeah, Torres. Of, yes. The soldier.
That's what he's called. That's what he calls them, anyway.
Yeah. And everyone else just starts calling them that.
Yeah. Flag Smashers... But... I kind of get it, but also I don't at the same time.
Right, well, Carly Morgenthau in the comics is Captain Anarchy. Everyone in this show is a captain in some way.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah, or has been a captain. Everyone's been a captain some way, apart from like Zemo and maybe Sharon Carter, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But Carly Morgenthau is in the comics is known as Captain Anarchy, and she is a terrorist, the sort of leader of the anti-patriot group, Red Hand or Flag Smashers, as they're called. She has the serum. The serum's a big...
Yes.
Factor in this show.
It is.
Everyone's coming after the serum, right? But this is just a tiny point.
Mm-hmm.
You may have recognised Aaron Kellyman from something else, Corey.
Oh, really?
Did you recognise her from something else?
It didn't strike me, no.
Right. Solo, a Star Wars story.
Right, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I blacked that film out of my memory.
Yeah, yeah. She plays Emphas Nest, the leader of the Cloud Riders. The Cloud Riders? Yeah, I think they're named the Cloud Riders.
Leader of the Cloud Smashers. See, that's how you do a joke, Murray.
The Cloud Smashers, yeah. They're the leader of the Flag Riders.
Right, yes.
The Cloud Smashers sounds better, actually.
Yes.
The Flag Riders sounds like a weird name. So, yeah, the leader of the... Yeah, it's another sort of terrorist group with another stupid name. I don't know. I don't know whether Aaron Kellyman's market is going to be...
Well, that's just her thing. Like, if you go on IMDb, like, people have, like, things they're known for. Like, Jack Black has expressive eyebrows listed.
Kellyman's going to be... the young female leader of a group with a terrorist group with a stupid name.
Yeah.
So, but they play that, they play almost the same beats as Solo, as Emphas Nest in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't expect it. At the start, she's in this truck. Like, oh, she's just a little girl. She's not going to be. And then she's like, oh, really fighting you really good and kind of thing. And she's the same as Solo. But it's done almost alternatively, where you don't know who Emphas Nest is until she takes off the helmet.
Yeah.
See, oh, she's just a little girl and she's leading this, you know, this vigilante group. So... They play the same beats as Solo in a way, and people will try to catch on to it. People are like, oh, they're going to try and redeem her. They're going to try and make her good like they did with Emphas Nest because it's the same actress.
Mm.
But they didn't really. And unlike, you know, Emphas Nest, Carly Morgenthau dies at the end of this.
Yes.
Spoilers.
She does. She gets shot.
She does. She's shot by Aaron Carter, and who turns out to be the power broker. No, yes. It wasn't. General Ross. No, it wasn't Bruce Banner. No, it wasn't Mephisto. It was...
Hold on. Do people actually think it was Bruce Banner?
Yes, that's something I've seen.
Oh, God.
That's something I've seen. The main...
My faith in the human race is going down a bit now.
Let's go away from Carly Morgenthau for a minute.
Yeah.
And let's go over to Sharon Carter and the Power Broker.
Yes.
Now... What were the stuff I saw that... You probably saw the one where people thought it was General Ross, Red Hawk, from...
Yeah, which I wouldn't have minded.
Right, yeah, because I know he's going to be in Black Widow, so
that's the thing,
sense.
It would make... Yeah.
So, but yeah, people thought it was Bruce Banner. People thought it was... There was every people run wild with these kind of things, don't
I know,
they?
right?
Some people thought it was Nick Fury. There was loads of ones. But turns out a Nick Fury character type shows up.
Yes.
We get Julia Louis-Dreyfus as
Valentina.
A character's got a long name.
Valentina.
Valentina de Fontaine, as she was called. Contessa, her name was. That's what her name is in the comics. She's sort of like an anti-Nick Fury. She's also Madame Hydra in the comics, so take from that what you will.
Yeah, it's Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Yes. People know her as Contessa.
Yeah, that's what I think we should probably call her from now on.
Yeah, that's her sort of moniker. So Contessa shows up in the last episode as well, why didn't she show up like a couple episodes from now? But she shows up as Contessa, and she's a bit of a scene stealer.
Yeah, true.
She's very charming and very. She plays it sort of like Nick Fury played it in the early days, where he's very, you know, swaggering and, oh, I'm gonna make you a superhero, that type of thing. So she's definitely a darker version of Nick Fury in terms of her tone and what she can do. I think she can be a lot more ruthless. She's sort of pushing John Walker to be, you know, U.S. agent, and oh, you're gonna operate outside the Avengers, and you're gonna be a new hero for America. Very Homelander. But yeah, she's Madame. I assume she's gonna be Madame Hydra, or
it'll make sense.
She's gonna go against Nick Fury, and Nick Fury's gonna show up. Whatever.
Maybe.
Wait, no, Nick Fury's in space.
He's in space. Maybe we're gonna get some Avengers versus. Like a Dark Avengers thing. Maybe that's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Or like just some evil version of like US Agent is essentially evil Captain America.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I thought he was going to become Super Patriot, which is who John Walker is in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I kept, as soon as I saw US Agent, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he killed that guy with a shield, I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, did the old decapitation on him. That poor guy. He was like, oh, I love Captain America, and I was growing up loving Captain America. You know what? Captain America's going to kill you.
Well, he didn't kill Battlestar, but Battlestar died.
Battlestar was got his head hit against the pillar by, I think it was actually Carly.
It was, yeah.
Carly Morgenthau who did it. You know,
it was, but, really hard, but she didn't mean to kill him.
Didn't mean to, no. But Captain America, he's just like, everyone in Marvel, do you notice how everyone in Marvel runs the same way?
Yeah.
They'll have the very tense arm movement, and it's like when you watch in Infinity War at the start of the Battle of Wakanda, when Captain America and Black Panther are running straight toward the army of Thanos' army,
yeah.
And they're both doing the same running motion, where their arms and legs are going really, really quickly, and they're moving like an aerodynamic run. Everyone does that in Marvel. Everyone runs the same way.
True, actually, yeah.
Yeah. For once, I like to see someone, I don't know, run backwards. That might be fun. So, we go from the sort of the start of the series, the characters, to the events of the series. And it takes us through the sort of plight of the Flag Smashers, who were initially portrayed as terrorists, as villains.
Yes.
And it redeems them slightly to say they're against this, the Global Repatriation Council, or the GRC, or a new body after Endgame. And they had like, I don't want to say they sort of do like they handle refugees and they handle people who've lost their homes in the blip, that's what they call it, in the snap, and they move them to new facilities and effectively are refugee camps. So the Flag Smashers are destroying these refugee camps and killing people, and that's not good. So Falcon and Winter Soldier have to step in to stop them. And then we're thrown into hijinks along the way.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things in this show that I quite enjoyed was the, amongst the actual kind of whole plot of the six episodes, you kind of had smaller stuff going on. You had Sam trying to fix the boat, you had Bucky and his therapy, and then you had Isaiah Bradley, who came in I want to say second or third episode, and then
yes, yeah, that was very, that was the more emotional, sort of very real world side of the fact that there was this black Captain America, and there was this gentleman who had fought in the war and never got any recognition for it. And it was very, I appreciate the fact, especially because of Sam's monologue in that last episode.
Yes.
And what actually happens to Isaiah at the end of the series, that I'm so glad you brought it up, by the way, that we get this final scene of him actually being honoured in the same museum as Captain America, and him being honoured for what he did as well. And because so many, you hear about so many black icons these days who, like, the three women who helped, there was a film about them, I think.
Yes, NASA.
To help launch the rockets into space, right?
Yeah. Hidden Figures is the film.
Pardon?
The film's called Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And so many other black figures who are lost by history simply because we don't know about them, or their work. And there was hundreds of nurses and doctors and figures in the military who did loads of heroic stuff that we just don't know about. And I think, like, Isaiah Bradley is kind of is a very similar figure to that.
Yeah.
And is someone who did this great sacrifice for his country and was forgotten about. So his scenes with Sam really are pivotal, as Sam the Falcon is, you know, there's the running joke of someone saying, oh, look, it's the Black Falcon or whatever.
Yeah.
People are saying that's his name, and they provide really almost quite very, very, I'm struggling for the words, but which isn't what you want to do on a broadcast. but it's very real world struggles, do you think? Especially during the scene that was almost quite awkward. These police officers rock up and they're like, oh, we're looking for, you know, we're looking to bring you in, a kind of thing. And they don't know he's the Falcon. And, well, they do know he's the Falcon, they're going to arrest him or something like that.
But it's
very,
they,
very,
they go to arrest
him. This is the sort of horrible stuff that happens.
Yeah, it's they go to arrest him, and then someone mentions that he's the Falcon, and then they don't arrest him.
Yeah, it's, this is stuff that, and people were like, on Twitter going, oh, how would that happen kind of thing, and they don't realise that really happens.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That happens day after day after day, and it makes me sick, because that is so horrible. No one should ever be profiled or prejudiced, but it happens, and that's just the kind of state that America's in. And
that's one of the things with Marvel and with the TV series in particular, is that they challenge, like, tough subjects, and they bring it into actual stuff.
Especially this series. Yes, I really enjoyed the series for what it did, and I really hope it keeps doing that, because we need series to bring stuff like this to light. And we need, I don't care about any political agenda or what the hell. Miss me with all that kind of thing. But what I want is shows that tackle real issues, and shows that tackle issues that matter in society, in America, in wherever, especially these days. Especially days where all we get on the news is this kind of stuff about horrible events happening, especially in America, due to the fact that there is this racial injustice.
Mm.
And yeah, maybe I'm not classified to speak on it, or maybe I'm not in any of my right to speak on it, but I feel like this show especially helps to bring more light to it, and any more light to that subject is good light, I think.
Yeah, and because it also shows, because obviously Winter Soldier's been not really around any of it, and it shows him kind of like realizing what's going on with
everything.
Yeah,
the world especially, yeah. Because he's been out of it, when you think about how long he was in the ice for, when he was brought back.
I mean, yeah, and like he mentions that he knew Isaiah Bradley was around.
Yeah.
He mentions that he fought him in, what was that, 51, 54 or something. Mm. And then you see Sam kind of like, well, why aren't you telling me this? Why have you kept it a secret? And then it kind of shows Bucky kind of then realizing what's going on. And he kind of has the outside perspective of, he doesn't realize what's happening until he sees it for himself.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And like, obviously, yeah, we mentioned before, Bucky has PTSD in all of this, which affects him. It gets revealed that his neighbor, who he keeps having food with, he killed his son.
Yeah, the also Japanese fellow, Asian fellow, who is who his neighbour, who Bucky keeps having dinner with, and then we find out through a flashback that the Winter Soldier, which is what he was, the Winter Soldier killed his son, and there's a lot of grief between there. So yeah, it tackles race and PTSD and the fact that these issues, they shouldn't be ignored, but instead they should be focused on and almost made pivotal to these characters. Like, this is what happens to them in the real world, you know. This is what these sort of events, this is what these sort of events actually bring on. So I say more power to it.
Yes, yeah, it's great. I mean, I know WandaVision tackled some of us as well, and I know that this did. I'm hoping Loki does some. I don't know what Loki could tackle, but I'm hoping it tackles something.
Maybe, but we'll see.
It's something that I'm glad Marvel are doing, and it's something that I hope appears in other stuff as well.
Yeah. So let's move on from that subject, and let's go to our actual real ratings for this.
Yeah.
For the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now, we know it's getting another series.
Yes.
It finished off with episode 6, but it is getting another series, and it'll be renamed to, I think, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Because Sam Wilson has now become the Captain America. So let's give it a real rating. Is it a little bit higher than what you did last time?
Yes, so it's higher than 7.5. This is my conundrum, right? So me and you both agreed on WandaVision, what we gave WandaVision, right?
Yes.
We both gave it an 8.5. Mm-hmm. And in my head, now I prefer Falcon and Winter Soldier to WandaVision.
Do you?
Yes.
To WandaVision. So that would mean it would get something like a 9.
I get the feeling you prefer WandaVision.
Yeah. Okay. Your powers of deduction and your psychic powers have prevailed once again, Corey. Because I think I do like Falcon and Winter Soldier very much. I feel like it's an amazing series, but with WandaVision, I felt like it connected. I don't know. It just connected to me slightly more. And
yeah, I mean,
it was the first thing that came out. It was It was very groundbreaking in its presentation, and it would sort of surprise you every week when you could kind of see where things would go a bit more. Not that it's a bad thing, God no, but you could definitely see where things were going a lot more in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Not to the show's detriment, of course not, but I feel like WandaVision had that surprise in it a bit more, had that shock in it a bit more. So,
I mean, I think WandaVision is still good. I think 8.5 is fair. I don't think Falcon and Winter Soldier is worth... Is it a 9? It could be a 9.
Go on, if you want it.
I'll give it a 9. Why not?
9. I'm going to go for an 8.
Okay.
Just a point below.
We've both gone 0.5,
and that is... That 0.5 could have gone to anything.
I was going to say, we've literally both gone 0.5 above and below.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's
neither here nor there. So, we're solid, you know.
I think 8, the reason is, for me, Falcon and Winter Soldier does more in the general story of Marvel. Whereas WandaVision...
Yeah, I can see that.
WandaVision is more contained.
Yeah, maybe that's why I liked it a bit more. I don't know. Maybe that's why I enjoyed it a bit more, because it was more of a contained story and it won't get another series, so...
It won't, also...
WandaVision is just WandaVision.
Exactly.
But what I'm going to recommend, my weekly rec this week, you may be wondering, Corey, what perhaps it is.
Oh, I'm definitely wondering what it is.
Yes, and it is. It's a film that gives Captain America a lot of action. It's a film that gives Falcon a lot of action. It is indeed Avengers Age of Ultron.
Ah, so the android.
Yes, the android.
Not the alien, not the wizard, but the android.
Exactly. I was looking for that. That's a joke somewhere. it's always one of those three, though, isn't it?
I wanted to slip that in, but I couldn't figure out where to put it until you said Ultron.
Oh, well, there we go then. Perfect. So we have And it's also actually the debut of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in this show.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
And we also get Falcon, and we also get Captain America. So it is Avengers Age of Ultron, of course, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., the legend himself, the man that started the MCU, creates Ultron, played by James Spader, to be the suit of armor around the world. But it Ultron rebels, and Ultron creates his own army, lifts Sokovia, and also Sokovia, very pivotal to this show, where Zemo's from. Zemo is Zemo's father was the Baron of Sokovia, so that's where Zemo gets his heritage from. And Zemo is actually seen at the Sokovia Memorial.
He is.
So a lot of pivotal events, in this show and in WandaVision happen around Avengers: Age of Ultron, which most people consider as the weakest of the Avengers films.
I was gonna say, yeah.
To say that it's the weakest, it sets up loads of stuff. It sets up Civil War because of the Sokovia Accords. It sets up Scarlet Witch and Vision. Vision debuts in Age of Ultron. Say it's the weakest, it sets up a phenomenal amount of stuff. Like the entire second phase, third phase even, hinges on Avengers Age of Ultron.
I mean...
And have you... I imagine you've seen it maybe a couple of times?
I've seen it once.
All right, I've probably seen it about... twice, maybe. I caught it on probably television the second time.
I've seen it once, and it was a while ago.
Yeah, me too. It came out in 2015.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think it was a bit of a tradition in my house. You know, we go and see the newest Marvel, the newest Star Wars. So we went and we watched Age of Ultron together, and yeah, it was another one of Joss Whedon's Avengers. So it's pretty long. It's about 2 hours 20. Yep. And I know obviously Joss Whedon isn't doing anything very much now because it turns out he's a bit of a wrong'un, but look into that if you like. But the Avengers, especially the collaborative sort of films where they show up in each other, were sort of founded from Iron Man and from the Captain America films, where you know you get Nick Fury, you get a Thor and the Hulk and all that kind of thing. You get the big blockbuster characters all come together in the massive collaboration Avengers Age of Ultron. And it really lets you think of how long the Marvel Universe has been going for and how long the MCU has been. Like, we're still getting, like, the Eternals, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're still getting the Mandarin film, Ten Rings, and we're still getting Loki, as we've just mentioned. Loki comes out in, as the time we're recording this, Loki comes out in probably less than a week.
Yeah, it's
6 days it comes out.
Yes.
At the time I'm recording this. It comes out in 6 days, so...
Yep. I mean, there's...
How have they not run out? How are we still getting... You know, they're alive and kicking, and I feel like it's...
There's quite a bit of Marvel coming out. We've got Black Widow coming out.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Doctor Strange is coming out. Next month, I think. It's all sorts.
The Marvel train is still...
It doesn't stop.
...chugging along at some speed. It
doesn't stop.
No, it's not stopping. So... And Age of Ultron, I feel like, was the only rep I had to choose. Yeah, I could have gone with the Captain America film, but everything that is in WandaVision, and especially Captain America Winter Soldier, is... Oh, sorry, Falcon and Winter Soldier. God, I always get confused. I knew I'd do it. I knew I'd say it.
It's fine. What will happen is, when the second season comes out, if we end up reviewing that, you're going to start calling it Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. But with Falcon and Winter Soldier, it really hinges on the events of Age of Ultron. Zemo's from Sokovia, you get the Sokovia Memorial, you get teasers to Wakanda in Age of Ultron, because that's where Claw is from. Claw is the arms dealer played by Andy Serkis, who appears in Age of Ultron. He gives some weapons to Ultron. So.
Yeah, true. Good point.
Yep, so Wakanda's at least referenced. I don't think we see it, but it's at least referenced. And then it's expanded on in later films like Black Panther, which is also amazing. Go and see that if you haven't. So that is my weekly rec. It is Avengers Age of Ultron, and it will get 7 reels.
Okay, not bad, not bad.
7 reels. For the collaborative effort of all the actors in the MCU, for the... very well written, and Ultron's great. Also, I'm a big Andy Serkis fan, like seeing Claw. even though spoilers, he's killed off in Black Panther. But and I just I'm a big fan of the Avengers films, Avengers Assemble, the first one, or just the Avengers, and Avengers Age of Ultron, and especially Infinity War and Endgame. They're my two favourites. So, but my weekly rec this week is Avengers Age of Ultron.
Very nice.
So that is the show.
That is.
That is the real show. We hope you enjoyed. If you're listening to us on a podcast sort of website or app, then we hope you enjoy it. Stick around for some more. We'll be coming at you throughout June and July with and every month with every month until we are dead with with loads of content. So hope you enjoy and stick around. Listen to some more stuff. We're really good and funny sometimes. So it's a goodbye from me. Goodbye. And a goodbye from Corey.
Goodbye.